you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Xfinity doesn't just give you Wi-Fi, they give you X-Fi. It's reliability, fast Wi-Fi for all your streaming needs. And we stream a lot, right, Preeti?
Oh my gosh, stream so much. I watched like 15 hours of Netflix yesterday.
I stream a lot of music. We stream the mixtapes we make for all of our favorite characters, like Kylo Ren's emo mixtape.
It's true. I did stream that.
This is true. So whether you're gaming online or streaming movies, Xfinity XFi gives you the speed, coverage, and control you need for the ultimate in-home Wi-Fi experience. So at Sci-Fi Wire, we're used to breaking news at crazy speeds, and we know fast when we see it. This is beyond Wi-Fi. This is XFi. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Strong Female Characters, a podcast where every week we assemble like a feminist Voltron to celebrate the badass women in geek culture through unfiltered deep dives into the nerdverse. I'm Cher.
And I'm Preeti.
And I'm Courtney.
And we have a guest with us today because we're going to be getting into some Game of Thrones shit. Say hi, Katie.
Hello. Who better to have chatting about Game of Thrones than me?
Than Katie Wilson.
The Katie Lisi.
Katie Lisi. Oh, my fucking God. Yes.
Someone make me a shirt.
No, like, seriously, someone make her a shirt. Someone make me a shirt with a drawing of her dressed as Khaleesi that says the Katie Lisi, and I will wear that shit.
And on the back, it just says, like, where are my dragons at, bitch?
Yes. Oh my God. So many good things have already happened and we just started.
Katie, make me your merch, girl. That's what I am.
All right. Sold. Done.
Done.
You, how much percentage you want? Because
all of it.
Whatever.
All of the percentage.
100. Well, why would you ask?
I don't know if I can go 100, but.
I'm taking the Iron Throne of your percentage.
Oh, Courtney wins Game of Thrones.
I won the throne.
That's a hard pass, by the way. Because we all know I'm going to be on the Iron Throne.
I hope that's your prediction, which we will get into later.
Yes.
But for now.
Just write me.
But for now, let's get into some news, yo.
So when the Endgame trailer was released, we got
it's not like anything's happened this week. Sorry. Go on.
I mean, like, nothing happened.
Nothing's going on. Happened.
This spring is really light in terms of like genre related. Yeah.
It's such a bad time to be a nerd because there's nothing going on.
It is a desert. Mm-hmm. But we got our first glimpse of Carol Danvers finally taking her place among the Avengers. Now, mm-hmm. when we saw that, many were quick to note a big change in her look. After seeing a relatively fresh-faced Carol in Captain Marvel, to see Endgame Carol with more makeup, a blowout, and a decidedly questionable brownish-red lipstick I think my grandma had a sample of from her local Merle Norman counter – some of us were caught off guard. I personally, myself, called this out as being really indicative of the difference in a male director versus a female director of a female character being filmed for the male gaze rather than just no gaze whatsoever. Slash Films' Peter Scaretta asked Joe and Anthony Russo about it, and there is a reason. Essentially, all actors determine their own hair and makeup, specifically noting that Scarlett Johansson has selected every wig and hairstyle Natasha has had, which should at least kill.
Are we shocked by that? Because if we've learned anything by who she's dating, homegirl does not have the best taste.
She doesn't have great – she doesn't make great hair choices for herself either.
She doesn't.
But you know what? She's beautiful and perfect and going to do what she wants.
I mean,
it's
no,
her
she's
life.
Perfect,
but – at least we now know that she and whatever hairstylist is on set, they don't have such a feud that this hairstylist is literally trying to murder her with wiggery. Because
also, I have a lot of questions about this because I call bullshit. Because if the characters got to choose their own hair all the time, then Cap would constantly have a beard and long hair because Chris Evans is a dirty Boston boy, and that's mm-hmm. like That's what
well,
they
the
do.
Well, the article said women.
Oh,
the women get to choose. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
But I wonder if it's like they choose among the options, not like they have free creative control.
I also
right?
feel like if RDJ had like more say in like Tony, he would like just fully lean into like douche Tony, and Tony would have like crazy facial hair with like super manicured.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But. Spake
she already does, but I mean, yeah. But more so.
It would be like a hard, like Jersey Shore situation.
That's not even Jersey Shore. That's like a Zurich, like Germany Guido type thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that Euro trash, like
DJ Tony Stark.
Yes,
that's the next phase of the MCU. Spake the Russos. Bree filmed Avengers Endgame before she filmed Captain Marvel, and I think she was experimenting with what the character was. And there were choices that she and her hair and makeup team had made. And I think as she started to gain a deeper understanding of the character, especially as she approached her own movie, she started to make different choices, and as an artist, she should be afforded that right to make whatever choice she wants to make. That's all, like, fine, I get it. But it also, I totally understand how the timing of these movies work. That said, it makes me a little concerned because will this be the Carol we fell in love with in our standalone film, or will this be not that? So I guess we'll see for ourselves soon enough. I trust the Russos. I trust Brie Larson. I loved Captain Marvel so much that I'm just a little nervous.
Yeah, that makes me a little nervous.
I am, but here's why I'm not. Because it's an undisputed fact that the best version of Captain Marvel was Kelly Sue's version, right?
Like, yeah.
That iteration that kicked off what she probably still is in the comics. I'm not going to pretend I read them because I didn't, but that kicked off what Carol is now, and I'm pretty sure they're probably going to stay with that version of Carol Danvers. I don't know that they are or aren't, but I can't see them, like, going 180. Like, I do have enough faith in the Russos and that, like, they have been the most consistent when it's come to the directors and how they've handled the characters. Like, it's not like they have given us the better version of Black Widow in the last Avengers movie. Like,
yes,
they have.
True.
So it's like and not just them, but also the screenwriters. So I think that, like, obviously it's a partnership, but I think that, like, I do trust them more than if this was like Joss Whedon was directing it.
Oh, God.
You know? Yeah.
And plus, you still have to keep in mind.
Her empty womb.
Yeah, you have to.
Sorry.
But you also have to keep in mind that there are still so many Avengers that even if Carol Danvers is a little bit different in this film, I don't think that there's going to be enough time to notice because of how many characters there still are.
Fair
Good point. This is why you're here. With that. This is, like, going to be a 180 a bit because it has nothing to do with the Avengers. However, I know I usually find stories that are weird or, like, I go on my rants talking about how men are trash. This is the opposite of both those things. This is actually a feel-good story. So apparently there is a nonprofit called Success Stories, and it's a group with the goal of understanding the patriarchy. And more specifically, how it affects the lives of inmates. And it was founded by a man named Richie Rosetta, or Rosita, I hope I'm not saying your name wrong. If I am, I'm sorry. And Charles Berry in 2013. So Richie was, before he got himself into any type of legal trouble when he was about like 19, he was already very much a feminist. He identified as a feminist. He was mentored by Patrice Cullors, who's an activist noted for her work with Black Lives Matter, back when he was an editor on his school newspaper. And then when he was 19 or 20, he got into some trouble for his part in some armed robberies. And he was incarcerated for, you know, a number of years. I think it was 10 years. He's since been released. But while he was incarcerated, he founded a group to work with other inmates and really be involved with and teach intersectional feminist, you know, teach intersectional feminism to other inmates when he was incarcerated. And since his release, which he has been released, he, you know, has launched Success Stories partially with his wife. And last year, CNN released a documentary when he was still incarcerated called the feminist on Cell Block Y, and it's about Richie and his work. And the documentary talks about the actual group itself and shows a group meeting taking place where you hear stories from the inmates and see how they kind of work through a lot of difficult concepts. But really, at the end of the day, what they're doing is talking about how toxic masculinity has really shaped them and caused them to, in a lot of cases, create a lot of the crimes that they created and to be the type of men that they were, and coming to terms with that, and to come to terms with the circumstances that not only led to those crimes, but their accountability and how they affected other people and their victims. And, you know, one of the inmates says in this documentary how, quote unquote, we harm people because we don't see them as people, we objectify them. So, you know, I just thought this is a really great story to see that there's a man that's working with this demographic, working with inmates to really do kind of like restorative justice, so to speak, where it's like they're really trying to help these men work through the root causes of what causes them to become criminals and to participate in the behaviors and to do a lot of the acts that they have done and commit the crimes that they have done, and how toxic masculinity has absolutely shaped that, and how, you know, they objectify women and create crimes against women. I just thought this was a really nice, you know, I don't have like a plithy, funny, sarcastic thing to say. I just saw this and I felt like this was such a nice, good thing to see because, you know, as we may or may not know, the United States, we only are responsible for 5% of the population yet in the world, yet we are responsible for 25% of the people incarcerated in the world. So it's like we incarcerate more people, more of our citizens than any other country on the planet. And the incarceration system is incredibly biased. It's incredibly broken too. A lot of these people are just thrown in jail and they're treated in ways that there's no real hope for rehabilitation. And there's no attempt to rehabilitation, at least not until recently, where you're starting to see now a lot of agencies and nonprofits are really trying to change the way that system works. But I think this is so important because, first of all, I think that this should become something that is taught in all schools, not just to incarcerated men. And I think that, you know, learning about toxic masculinity should absolutely become a mandatory part of a curriculum in every single public and private school. Just like we have to learn math and you have to learn health and you have to learn science. Like, this should become a mandatory thing that you have to learn. So I just really liked this story and I just wanted to share it for that reason. Like, there's no pithy, funny thing.
No, and there shouldn't be, because it's so important to talk about the positives and talk about the goodness in the world in addition to calling out the bad, right? Like, it has to be a balance. Otherwise, it's just you feel like you're never going to get out, right? Without stories like this and without people who do the work like this, it would be more of a hellscape than it already is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to check out now the documentary, The Feminist and Cell Block Y, you know, and I was reading a little bit about him prior to this. And that's how I learned about how he was an editor on the school's newspaper. And when he was an editor, he did an issue one day where it was Valentine's Day, around Valentine's Day, and the front page of the school's newspaper was a big diagram, like a health diagram of a vagina. And he made the entire issue for Valentine's Day about vaginas.
Amazing.
And he was calling it V-Day because he was inspired by, oh my God, what's her name? I forget, that did the feminists, that did the vagina monologues.
Eve Ensler?
Yes. He was inspired by her because she had started something. Eve Ensler started what's called V-Day. And it's in recognition of the fact that more women get date raped on Valentine's Day than any other day of the year. And he was in high school and he was inspired by that. So that's what he based that issue of their school newspaper on. And there's, if you, you know, you Google and you look, it's called Le Sabre. That was the name of their school newspaper at Cleveland High School. And you see the whole diagram and everything and the entire, and he's, and then the header says, have a happy vagina day. And it was in part to destigmatize the conversations around a woman's anatomy and to also talk about, you know, date rape and how women are victimized. And it's like to be in high school,
that's incredible.
And it's amazing, right? And you know, and again, like, I think this is a fantastic story because, you know, Richie went through, he struggled with drug addiction in his teens. It led him down a path where he ended up committing crimes. He served his time, but at his core, he was still this really good person that, you know, believed in these things. And he managed to still keep a piece of that of himself, you know. And I think that a lot of people, when they do find themselves because of whatever their environment and their circumstances in their lives, when they find themselves falling down a path where they become incarcerated and stuff, I think it's really hard for people to maintain that piece of themselves that keeps driving them forward. So I think he's a really inspiring story because, like, yeah, he did some shit that was fucked up and he had some bad shit happen to him and he also did some bad things. But I think that he's an example of someone that, like, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't judge somebody by the fact that they served time. And I think there's just a really great redemption arc here. You know, I think we're so often, speaking of the MCU, actually, like, you know, everybody talks about how, like, Robert Downey Jr., like, he's the greatest comeback story in all of Hollywood, right? Like, no one ever expected that. And the odds of it replicating to that level again is, like, so slim. But it's like, we're always so willing to see a celebrity have a comeback.
Right.
And I feel like we don't do that as much with everyday people, and especially men of color or people of color. And to see, you know, a Hispanic man have this kind of redemption and where he's really serving not just his community outside, but also looking to serve people that are incarcerated. I just think it's so great, you know? So that's my rant for today.
I love that. I love that story. I also just, I feel like it's important to say that Eve Ensler is Dylan McDermott's mom.
No, she's not. She's actually his stepmother. She's his step. Right. She adopted him and he changed his name because his name was not Dylan. He changed his name because when she was married to his father, Eve was pregnant and lost the baby and they were going to name the baby Dylan. So he changed his name to Dylan.
Yeah.
Legally changed his name to Dylan. Yeah.
Yeah. Dylan McDermott's important.
Yeah.
I love him.
All right. Well, I have news to follow that can't follow that, but it has to because this is a podcast.
Right.
So.
That's our segue.
This is it. A few days ago, Disney finally unveiled some information about its new streaming service, Disney Plus. We do not have time to go through the entire press conference because it was hella long, but there are some exciting and possibly questionable highlights that are relevant to our interests. Or maybe my interests in some cases, like that Disney seems to be opening its own vault for this thing, and we're getting a bunch of classic Disney and Pixar films on release date. Then, this is going to be a really long thing, even though I tried to, like, pull as much information out of it as I could, just FYI for everyone listening. But we have Star Wars! Disney is really out here making sure that we are on track to live in that WALL-E world. So, okay, Star Wars. There's The Mandalorian, which will drop on launch, and of course the as-of-yet-untitled Cassian Andor and K2 project, which, my kingdom for a meeting between Leia and Cassian. For the love of God, it's all I want out of this. I mean, obviously, Diego Luna, but Cassian and Leia, just one conversation. And, of course, Marvel has some huge plans for the service, including what I can only assume is a buddy cop show about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, a Loki series, just adapt Agent of Asgard, you cowards, and a Hawkeye show, Arden Cho for Kate Bishop, and the most ill-named ship of a TV show, WandaVision. Also, there's an animated What If series in which Peggy Carter becomes a super soldier, so that's super exciting.
Inject that straight into my veins.
I know, right? I like wish it wasn't animated. I wish it was like in real life, but I will take what I can get. There's more. Thanks to the recent acquisition of Fox's media properties, they'll also offer up The Simpsons. And most importantly, did you know that Disney also owns Nat Geo?
Yeah.
What?
I think I did know that because Fox owned them.
Oh.
I think.
It's, you know what? It's a tangled web. But it's maybe really just that they are giving us the surprising OTP of Jeff Goldblum and the natural world to go, and we are all very much here for it. Now look, there's only going to be more from this service. Like, Disney is like 5 years away from owning the whole world. But hey, maybe we're going to get an X-Men in the MCU. Am I right?
Oh, I hope so. I love the X-Men.
What fits nicely in that is that I read too fast and thought you were going to say, did you know that Disney also owns Jeff Goldblum? And I was like, first of all,
wait, can I say this?
That will be true.
Courtney, you need to stop reading along when someone's talking. Because, stop it. Just listen. Let them tell their story. It's their journey. Don't be reading along.
All right. Here are the very quick specifics. It drops November 12, 2019. It's going to cost $6.99 a month. And I love that with all these separate streaming services, we're all just going to basically be paying for cable again. So yay!
So true. And also, how long will that $6.99 last for?
I know, right?
Seriously. Like,
they're going to hook us. They're going to get us. And you know what? It's going to work.
Surprise! It's $17 a month now.
Chris Rock has this joke about drug dealers and insurance and how you always make money on the comeback. And that's what this is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they want to get
you
hooked. True.
The first one's free because they're going to get you on the comeback.
We're going to take a quick break and start saving up our pennies for all those streaming services. And we will be right back to talk about Star Wars.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So a tiny little trailer dropped on Friday. I don't know. Maybe you've heard of this Wii franchise called Star Wars. That's right. Star Wars Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker, released a teaser trailer at Celebration, and we need to discuss because there was a pretty big bomb at the end of that trailer.
I feel like I need to rewatch the trailer because I don't think everything really... I think I missed a lot in that trailer.
I have spent the last day just talking about Star Wars, so...
I've watched the trailer so many times because the first time I watched it, I was like this like giddy beaming creature. And literally, when the shot of Leia happens, I made... I'm going to try to approximate the sound I made. I think it was like that. I scared my dog. I legitimately scared
my
dog.
That's so fitting.
I watched it. You guys, I watched it once. I'm a bad nerd.
No.
I watched it once because I was like, okay, I have 5,000 other things I have to do right now.
Only watched it 3 times because I get too excited. Like, I can't.
No, you?
I can't. I know. I can't handle how fast my heart starts beating.
Oh my God.
I very honestly had to take a Xanax afterwards. I was like, am I having a panic attack or am I just so excited about Star Wars right now?
All right, so what should we talk about? Like, first initial thoughts, I loved the moment where Rey, like, you know, has her lightsaber out, and then, like, she gets that determined look on her face, and then when she, like, flips over the TIE fighter.
Fuck, yes.
Yeah, she becomes Lara Croft.
Yeah.
Real fast. Jedi.
She can just...
Jedi flippy shit.
Yeah, she's going, like, Jedi to the max. Like, yeah. I love that. I feel like I really, you know what? I think I have to pull up the trailer and rewatch it. I got to be honest with you. I really feel like
I'm going to just sit here and think about Oscar Isaac's scarf. It's a very good Infinity scarf.
It is.
I have very strong feelings about it.
He looks very Brendan right, Fraser from The Mummy. And
hold on.
Mummy vibes.
Let's go. I'm going to pull this up.
I think I was just the most excited to see Lando.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I think that was.
Wait, did you see that meme? Did you see that fucking meme with.
Yes.
Yeah, no, my dead body. That was so good. The internet can be so good sometimes between that and the Captain America assembling the Avengers by sweeping up ashes. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah. Too. All right. I'm rewatching the trailer right now. So let's see.
Everyone we love is dead. The story of being a nerd.
So my goosebumps instantly start with the music.
With Leia's, I can't.
You know, but I think, honestly, like, I am so excited. I have loved these past, you know, current Star Wars series. And I am so looking forward to, you know, I know a lot of people didn't like The Last Jedi, but I personally really did.
I think they were wrong.
There were also more people who liked it than the internet would have us believe. Like, that was all a ton of, like, nonsense. You could not like The Last Jedi, but there were definitely a lot of people who did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm like super excited. I think I am such a big fan of Rey, and I love Rey and Kylo's relationship. And I'm just hoping we get a lot more of that in this final installment.
Creepy does not like
I have
it.
To say.
Really? Hey, that's totally fine. I just find it interesting because they both kind of come from the place of like they have a lot of similarities, even though they chose different paths. And I like seeing that a lot at least in The Last Jedi. And I think that this trailer was beautiful. It was action packed, but it didn't get me as level of excited as a lot of people were saying, just because, you know, it feels like a J.J. Abrams teaser trailer.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Epic slow motion, you get beautiful music, you get beautiful scenery, you get fast thing. And that's like getting you hyped up. But at the same time, like, I want to know what the story is going to be. I want to get a little bit more detailed in a trailer without, of course, giving anything away.
Yeah.
But as far as a beautiful trailer goes, I mean,
I guess what I find to be exciting about these teasers, because they did this. This is almost like not shot for shot, but like emotion for emotion trailer that dropped at last celebration for Last Jedi. Right. And what I love so much about this moment is the sheer like openness of what it could be and the amount of like conversation and theories and excitement, because it's everyone being like it's at least my pocket of Star Wars fandom is very much like just excited to talk about the potential. And that's a really exciting space to be in when you're like, this could literally be anything. Any of these shots could mean anything, right? We have no context. We have no like sense of what this is other than it's going to be the end. And like that, my heart dropped like into my stomach, and having him come out
and
to
then
be
he's
like
just there on stage.
What the hell?
Oh, I'm like, here's the thing. So like, first of all, I love that they use Leia's theme. As the main theme for this trailer, because
I literally have chills right now talking.
I know,
the second Leia's theme starts, I started getting the chills as soon as the Leia's theme started. But then once you see Carrie Fisher, I was like, you know, of course, because I am a bitch. but also like I love that because to me, even if that's just to pay homage to her, fine. I'm fine with that. But knowing that before she died, the plan was for this movie to be a lot more about Leia, because the first one was more about Han. You lost Han. The second one was about
Luke.
They knew like it was going to be about Luke. The third one was going to be more about Leia.
I think
so.
It still will be. I think Skywalker in the title is Leia.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. And I also, it's like, I'm definitely going to have to ask my therapist for, like, medication before I go see this movie. Because I got super emotional the last two. Like, I'm going to get super emotional this one. And it's like, but also, I hope it is super female-centric in a lot of ways, because I want to see it not just for what our generation of Star Wars fans had with Leia, but I want that new generation to have that type of connection to a character, like a female character like we had for Leia.
Yes.
I want a new generation of like kids growing up now to have their version of Leia, you know? And I hope that's Rey, you know, and I hope Rey embodies that for them.
I think that's where I hesitate with the Kylo Ren, actually. I think that's where, like, I think Kylo Ren is an interesting character, but to me he's the least interesting character of the four of them. And a lot of that is because it's a character we've seen the archetype of before.
I don't think we have, though.
Well,
that's the
hopefully.
Thing.
I'm hoping that in this movie they kind of really subvert what our expectations are of what could happen, and that it turns into, it is very solidly Rey's story, not Rey and Kylo Ren or Rey and, you know, it's Rey's story and Kylo is a piece of that.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of directions that someone could, I think Kylo's a much more interesting villain than
a villain. I agree with you.
Villain than people give him credit for. Or give the character credit for, because I think everyone's always like, oh, like, listen, Darth Vader, just looking at him at the end of time, he looks super fucking cool. He's Vader. Like, his name is even cool. Like, his everything about Vader, like, that is a cool, awesome, he's one of the best villains ever created, right? But as a character, like, I feel like he was always just that one note bad guy. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't until the end that they tried to give him that redemption. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, Vader, they could have gone a lot of places with that. And I think they kind of fucked it up a little bit with the whole prequels, like the whole Anakin stuff.
The Anakin stuff is good because of Clone Wars, right?
I don't think the Anakin stuff is bad. I think they didn't execute it well. I think it could have been better, and it was probably better executed, like, in the Clone Wars, or I think in all the other offshoots and, like, all the other Star Wars stories we're getting, I think now Vader is actually becoming a better character, an actually better character now than he was for us with the original trilogy.
100% agree.
You know, so it's like he's getting more of a story, so to speak. Whereas Kylo Ren, I think we've already seen, like, between the fact that, like, he can't control himself because of he's so untrained. His passions run so high, but the way it manifests, and also where
so many feelings.
Yeah, he's emo, you know, he's got so many feelings that he's feeling.
He's a delicate boy. He's a soft boy.
He is a soft boy, and it's like, it's really interesting. And then it's like, but then he's also, I don't know, there's just a lot. I don't know, I'm just really interested to see where you go with this, because one of the things to me that will always stick out the most is how when it came to Leia, like, he instantly, like, that's his kryptonite, is his mother, you know? Like, so, like, I can't wait to see how that's, if they're going to expand on that in a bigger way with this movie. But also, I can't wait to see why it's called Rise of the Skywalker. Does it mean, like, that now, like, Leia, because we saw she used the Force in the last movie. And, like, you know, so it's like, I wonder how we're going to see, like, are we going to see that more with her, with that character? Like, are they going to now call the New Order, like, instead of Jedi, are they going to be called Skywalkers, maybe, like, by name? Like, is Rey going to call herself Skywalker because she's basically been, like, adopted by the Skywalkers? Like, there's so many possibilities that I want
to
see.
I refuse to believe it's what people are afraid of, though. They're not going to retcon this, and
no,
and Rey
she's
is
not
going to
be like, that's my
They're not going to do that. That's stupid.
Yeah. Because, like, who was Luke out boning anyway? He was, like, on an island by himself. That's not his kid. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think, like, if she becomes a Skywalker, it's going to be because she was, like, adopted by the family. And it's, you know, like, kind of like a, like, that's it. But also, like, I want to see Lando. Because Billy Dee is going to
have. I am so excited for Lando. I'm very excited for Naomi Ackie. If that is, if she does turn out to be a Calrissian, like, that would be really, really cool.
I think that'd be so rad to, like, now all these, like, guys that were, like, hyper machismo, like, now it's like, cool, now here all your daughters are gonna take the fuck over. You know? The daughters of the Force and the daughters of the Force. I know, daughters of the Force should totally be a band.
Oh my god.
Like, that should be, or that should be, like,
the Force.
Or Heather's, like, the Knights of Ren. They should have Daughters of the
Hells
Force.
Hells yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God. Hire me to write that book, Disney.
But it goes back to what you were saying, like, that it's, you know, for today's generation of kids to have this, this kind of female representation, like, not just with Rey, because we've got this, like, amazing hero in Rey, but I think we're going to get, like, more of Rose Tico. We're going to get this character. Like, it's, that's so good because, like, we had Leia, and Leia meant everything to us, but I'm a white woman. I've gotten to see myself represented on screen, and it's so nice that, like, these are going to be the heroes for kids now, and it's heroes that look like them, and it just makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm. And plus, it's like, Leia meant everything to everyone because she was the only one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, now it's like, these characters, there's multiple characters. They don't have to be all the things to everyone.
Yeah.
And the fucking Emperor.
Fucking Ember.
Palpatine. Talk about like a big bad dude. I'm glad that like he's going to come back in some way because he's an evil motherfucker and I want to see that manifest like
now. It's going to be so good.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But okay. Chills. So there we are with Star Wars. There's our feelings. Of course I want to know. We want to know everybody else's feelings. But now we're going to actually take a quick break. And then when we come back...
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
This weekend marks the return of Game of Thrones. And though maybe we aren't the most well-versed in playing the game, literally I've seen every episode and I don't know the name of basically any character over the age of 50 who has a beard. But we are sure ready. For Stark Madness, an actual game in which we guess who we think is going to get a very sore butt by sitting on that literal Iron Throne. It is not good for your back. It has no lumbar support, whatever. Stark Madness is here. It has a theme song. I'm going to sing it for you now.
I'm so excited about this. Ready?
Madness. It's Stark Madness. Madness Stark. Stark Madness Stark. Stark Starky Madness. Starky Madness. It's Stark Madness. Starky Madness.
I like
Starky
it. It's a good song.
Madness. Stark Stark. Who's going to bang now? Who's going to bang now? Cersei Wine Time. That's the song. I did it. I did the song.
To be fair, we need to find use for the other song that doesn't have full lyrics yet, but that you guys were singing too. Well, Preethi was singing.
My Peter Dinklage song?
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh, she just sang that at the end of the...
But I can do it again.
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage. I just want to hear that always. Peter Dinklage. Yeah. Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage again.
What was the Brienne of Tarth one? Sing that
Tarth,
one, too.
Tarth, Brienne of Tarth. Tarth. She's a tall girl. Brienne of Tarth. Tarth. And then the actual theme song, of course, as we all know, is just Thrones, Thrones, Game of Thrones, Thrones, Game of Thrones, Thrones. It's a throne, throne. It's a game, and it's got Thrones, Thrones. It's got Thrones, Thrones. Sisters, fucking brothers, Game of
Thrones.
Raven, three-eyed raven, kid from Love Actually, la, 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 la.
It is the song that never ends, truly. Well, all right, so let's explain Stark Madness to everyone, okay? Because we're actually going to turn this into a game, and you can actually go right now to sci-fi.com, and you can download, which we'll also share the link on social, but we... uploaded this on Friday. Hopefully you guys downloaded it before the first episode, where you can download our actual bracket to actually play Stark Madness. So here are the rules. For each week going into the week, you are going to predict each character's fate on their journey to the Iron Throne. Now, I know you're going to look at this, people of the world, and be like, Samwell Tarly doesn't actually have a path to the throne. Technically, he could. It's like a real outsider's chance. But anyone that even has the slightest possibility of a claim to the throne is represented on the outside of our wheel. So obviously we have the Lannisters. We have Daenerys. Obviously Jon Snow, Sansa, Arya, Bran, Gendry, because he is technically the bastard son of the previous king. Ned's head, because sure, why not? No, there was a reason, and I don't remember what it was, but I like it.
It was me deciding that if we can have, like, zombie ice dragons, yes, why not zombie it. Ned's head?
Exactly.
Ned's head. It's going to be Ned's head on the throne. It's going to be Ned's
Greyjoys,
head.
The Greyjoys, obviously, they do technically have, they're a house. They technically could have a claim to the throne. Oh, Brienne of Tarth, she technically, even though it's a very minor house, could have a claim to the throne. You don't know. Maybe she marries Jaime. Like, yeah, anything could happen,
gives
people.
A crap about
and then,
the throne,
of course, but, the Night King, who probably has no fucking idea what the throne is, but could still end up with it anyway.
It just, like, walks right past the throne.
For every episode, you put whether a character will live or die by using, obviously, the letter, so either L or D. And at the end of the episode, you count how many of those predictions you got correct, and you count up your points. You get 5 points for every single guess that you got correct, and so on and so forth continues. Now, we're going to make our predictions for the Iron Throne today, which I personally think everyone should be making their predictions now because it's just more fun to see how right or wrong you are. And regardless of what your predictions are for any of the episodes during the season, if you guess who wins the Iron Throne, you will get 100 points. You can get everything else wrong and still get 100 points if you guess the Iron Throne correctly. Or you could get way more because you got a whole bunch of shit right, plus whoever ended up on the Iron Throne. You can also earn some extra points by answering some bonus questions and getting those correct. And you get 10 points for each correct answer. So this you should be filling out before Sunday's episode, but we'll let you do it before, you know, next week's episode too. How many times will Jon and Dany bang before they find out they're related? How much wine will Cersei drink over the course of the season? So you put the number of glasses you think that she's going to have. So we have to physically see her drinking from those glasses and like refilling them.
I wrote 6, just once per episode.
Okay. How many dragons will stay till the end? And will a dragon fight an ice dragon?
Because well, a dragon?
A dragon?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's the difference between a... There's ice dragons and there's dragon
and
dragons.
And there's dragon
a
dragons.
Dragon.
No, dragon made sense. And
I like
I'm backing you up in this court. That's
Thank
why
you.
I was like, keep it. Dragon made all the sense in the world to me.
I only wish there was one additional bonus question, and it was, who else besides Daenerys will ride a dragon?
Oh.
Because it could
you
know be Jon, it could be Tyrion, it could be the
Night
King.
Tyrion will 100% ride a dragon. He and those dragons have connections.
We should like, let's make that a write-in question. So, yes, who else besides, even though it's not on the sheet, we can all write it in. So who else besides Dany is going to ride a dragon? And I co-sign that Tyrion is going to end up riding a dragon.
Same. And I think you should get 5 points for each character you get right riding a dragon.
She's well, 10 points.
Jon Snow's dragon. Am I right, ladies?
Oh, boy. There it is.
They are related.
Yes, they are. This show loves incest.
Well, it's the true Targaryen way.
I mean, let's be honest, though. Most royals were incestual also. I mean, so it's really not that far.
This wasn't
related.
Anything new back then. I mean, if this isn't a real place or a real time.
But, you know,
that is
you know
kind
what
of the thing that like, I always think whenever people are like, well, they don't really have the way to the throne. Like, that's not how it works. It's like, this is a made-up show.
Yes.
This is imaginary. Anyone
it could
can do
be
anything.
Ned's head. You don't know.
It's good. Exactly. It could be Gilly's baby. Who knows?
Gilly's baby's
gonna end up on that damn throne.
They could end up abolishing the entire monarchy system and go to a democracy. You don't know, people. Anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Probably not that, though. All right, so let's kind of get started. So now we're recording this the Friday before the season premiere. So we're gonna make our predictions for not only episode 1, right? But do you think we should make them for episode 2 also? Or do you guys think that we should talk about our predictions now for episode 1 and then tweet out after episode 1 what our predictions are for episode 2?
I mean, I think we can talk about it because, to be honest, like, I don't think anyone's dying in the first episode, except I wrote Ned's head is already dead, so... I just wrote dead for all of Ned's
it's
head.
It's gonna undie, though.
No.
That's okay.
I don't think so.
No, okay. Katie, I'm so sorry that you have to talk to us about this.
I read the books. I didn't read the books, but I'm pretty sure that happens.
It doesn't.
I read nothing.
I read the books. And
I read nothing, Jon Snow.
I read the books.
I read nothing.
13 years ago, 14 years ago. And so I don't remember anything. And I've not watched the show.
To Fantastic. Be honest, Ned's head was probably destroyed during Battle of Blackwater anyway, because we haven't seen it since the beginning of season two.
Which will make its comeback all the more glorious.
Or is it going to be like a Return to Oz situation
where his head was
reanimated with some type of special magic power, and now maybe, I don't know, maybe like someone else is going to wear it, and then they end up taking the throne as Ned.
Well,
his head.
Let me.
I'm into this because that like wall of faces was giving me some Princess Mommy vibes. I'm
it
just
was.
Saying,
what it
if,
was. Thank
what if
you.
This
I agree.
Has been Oz the whole time.
What if we That's are in Oz? Finale. What if since, we are in Oz?
Since Ned's head is such a big conversation topic right now, can I say who I think is going to end up on the Iron Throne? And if Ned's head is even still on a spike on the castle, this is what I think is going to happen. One,
let's hear it.
I wrote Sansa. Sansa is going to be on the Iron Throne at the end, very, very end.
That is my pick as well.
And if that is true and Ned's head is even still in existence, I think she will walk back to that courtyard where Joffrey showed her father's head on the spike, and I think she will have it removed. And, you know, it's probably just a piece of bone now, but, you know, it'll be removed and then maybe... buried or whatever. But that's the only way I could see Ned's head still coming into play. But I know that's kind of like a joke one, but
no,
I do
but I will
believe.
Honestly be so thrilled if Ned's head is in play in any way, shape, or form. I know. I will feel like I am the oracle.
But I have all these kind of crazy predictions, and I don't know how much you want me to get into them.
Get fucking into them. So first let's go around who everyone predicts will end up on the Iron Throne. I also agree. I think it's going to end up being Sansa. Because she fucking deserves it, man. That
Sansa
character
has been through a lot.
She has been through shit. And it's like, you know what? There's no other allegory for just the fucking reality of being a woman that you just go through every fucking thing in the world. And like, still people underestimate you, even though she has proven, I think more than anyone else, that she is a very capable leader. And also to go through the shit she's gone through and still like be sane and like is a huge testament to how just enduring and mentally strong this woman is and how capable she is. And I want to see a capable woman on the throne. And also, you know, I didn't like Sansa in the beginning because she reminded me too much of her mother, and I didn't like her mother very much. I don't like that character because she was just so mean unnecessarily to Jon Snow. But yeah, like just I like her a lot now. I really like her a lot.
See,
so I hope it's Sansa.
The thing about Sansa, though, is that we don't know that she is going to be nice, I guess, yep. Because she was basically, you know, grew up her entire life wanting to be the queen. And that is all she ever wanted. And Cersei came into her life, and instead of mentoring her, Cersei basically put her through all this torment. And basically, you know, that scene with them at Battle of Blackwater where, you know, Cersei's giving her the only advice she's ever given Sansa. And it's just kind of, while it may be true in Cersei's life, you know, I think Sansa actually learned from that conversation and took that into her horrible marriage with Ramsay Bolton. And, you know, she also had Margaery along the way who really did act as a mentor to Sansa.
Yeah.
So I see Sansa going one of two ways. She could either become Cersei, but what I think the lesson is through Sansa is she can go through all the same terrible, horrible things that Cersei has gone through her life, but Sansa can come out the better person because of it. And I think if she accepts Dany as a mentor or a leader, then I think Sansa could learn so much from Dany. And I do think Dany's going to die this season, hence why Sansa will be on the Iron Throne.
Yeah, I think Dany's gonna die. I think Jon's gonna die. I think Sansa gets the throne.
Jon's already died, though. Why would they do it again? That's my kind of take on
that's
it.
That's overkill.
I want to hear what Preeti was gonna say because she was trying to say something. We all cut her off.
I'm so sorry because you're having such a lovely conversation about feminism.
No, don't be sorry because you are part of the conversation.
And a valid like character path to the throne, and I'm gonna say Gendry because.
Yes, I love you for this.
He's technically the rightful heir, right?
He's technically the rightful heir. Yes. And the actor was on a show called Skins that I was obsessed with. But he was a
huge reason.
Because this is such a Preeti reason. I love it.
He was such a huge dork on that show. And then he showed up on Game of Thrones and got super hot. And I was like, all right, buddy.
Oh my God, wait a second. I think Sansa and Gendry could end up together.
Why not? Although, isn't there like a whole thing where Arya had a crush on him, right?
Yeah, and that could be very possible. I just, you know, I think Gendry's like a really good choice because he is truly, I think, the rightful heir because Robert Baratheon usurped the throne. Mm-hmm. So Robert Baratheon is the true king of Westeros, not even Daenerys. Yeah. And I think that Gendry has the biggest claim to the throne, even being a bastard. But why I think that won't happen is because the show didn't spend any time building up his character between what, season two and now? Like, he has hardly been in the show. I mean, that could
counterpoint,
this is why I think him and Sansa could end up in a marriage of convenience, because I think that his birthright would only strengthen her position on the throne. Yeah. So that's why it's like, I could see that happening. Because I think that Arya is like way into being a fucking badass assassin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That like, I can see her being like, you know, in charge of like the royal guard type thing. You know, because I think Arya is going to live.
Yes.
I agree. I think that Dany's going to die. And I think Jon's going to die.
Jon won't die. I don't think Jon will die. Jon, I think, will go rule the North like his father did.
Yeah, that's what I agree. He belongs in the North.
Yeah, and I think Jon's going to send Sansa a scroll basically being like, I give the throne to you. And I don't think Sansa need a man. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Like,
she's a strong woman who don't need no man. But
I don't think she needs a man, but like, I think, you know.
Gendry's just so cute.
He's really good looking. Yeah, he's so cute. Really, like, I think she needs a guy that's like going to be like, you're my queen.
He's like a pretty face. Like,
right. I think he wouldn't treat her like shit.
No, he wouldn't.
So
all I honestly care about kind of in that vein is that I want Tyrion to have a role in her, like, her cabinet, as it were, because absolutely. He was
sure. Yeah.
He was good to her. He was respectful, yes, to her, and she could kind of, like, show him that kindness. And
I think, like, he'll end up whatever, like, that position that his father had. Like, I think he'll, what is it called?
The
Hand of the King?
Yes, he's going to end up being the Hand of the King. And actually, I take it back. I think Brianna Tarth is going to end up ruling the guard, the royal guard. But I think like Arya is going to kind of work.
So she'll take over like Jaime's spot?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that like Arya is going to be like just some kind of like badass assassin that does shit for her to like secure her sisters.
And I think Gendry will go off with Arya to go adventure because I feel like they're good together in that way. But
yeah.
But also, like,
I mean, he's going to end up with one of the sisters.
I don't care. I don't think he's going to end up with anyone. I just don't see it.
I don't care how many. Like, I don't care if it's romantic or if it's like he goes off as like he's like their partner in like crime, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, like their bestie.
He's going to end up
somehow
somebody.
Linked to one of them.
Did you guys see that interview that came out? I think this morning or last night, where the actor who plays Gendry was asked when he'd reunite with Arya, and he said to the interviewer, "Will this interview go out after the first episode or before?" So,
that's some Tom Holland answering.
That
right
is
there.
A yeah. Tom Holland answer.
So he could have been joking with everyone, but it's also very possible that this Sunday, tomorrow, they will be reunited, which would be really interesting. So that does leave open 5 more episodes for any sort of love something to happen. I'm not sure.
I just want Sansa to be happy, man.
I think she will
be genuinely happy with whatever happens in her life.
I think she will.
Was really put through it by some real douchebags, and she.
But like, think about it. Think of the
revenge on men.
Yeah, think about the contrast, though. Cersei always wanted to be able to be the queen, the leader, and she didn't want to have a man to do it. So I think Sansa winning the throne in the end and not having a man, and everyone respects Sansa as the queen, that's something Cersei always wanted and went about it the wrong way. So I think by Sansa getting it is the sweetest revenge.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Okay. Good point.
We haven't talked about the Greyjoys, which no one ever really talks about the Greyjoys.
Which is a shame because I think Yara is a fucking badass.
I love Yara. And
I hope she doesn't die.
I wrote down that she's going to die in episode 5, Battle of Winterfell. I think she's definitely going to die. And to be honest, I don't care what happens to Theon.
Same.
Like, I hate Theon Greyjoy so
Theon
much.
Sucks. Yeah. And it is a testament, honestly, to Alfie Allen that I think he is so good.
Yeah, that we all hate him.
We hate him.
Yeah.
And he is such just a useless, like, just a piss of a person. Mm-hmm. But like Alfie Allen is great. Like, I think he did a great job with that performance.
Yeah.
But Jesus.
I just don't think he's even redeemable for what he's done.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't either.
They tried to redeem him with like, oh, I'm going to help save Sansa. And it's like, nah, you're still not redeemable.
Yeah.
You
no,
still
deserve
a brutal, fiery death. So
what do we think? Let's go around then to all the characters. Mm-hmm. So like, just overall, you don't have to say a specific episode if you don't have it. I know Katie does. But what do we think is going to happen with Cersei?
Die.
Okay, so Cersei was kind of the wild card for me because it's so easy to just be like, she dies in the finale or she dies in episode 5. But I just kind of went on a limb here and threw in that she's going to die in episode 3. Because we need a shocking death early on. So, you know, that's just what I think that this show will do. I think it'll either be episode 2 or 3, we'll get a shocking death. And then the rest of it will be Battle of Winterfell against the Night King and figuring all that stuff out. It's probably more probable that Cersei will die in episode 5 or 6, but I threw her in as episode 3 just to kind of shake things up.
I think Cersei is not going to die because I think for a character like her, it is a worse fate than death to see someone else on the throne.
She has no fucking power.
True.
See, I love that. That's the ending I want for her. I want her to have to like rot in a dungeon for forever.
Exactly.
But she already did that too. We already saw her in a dungeon. We already saw her do the walk of shame. What else could there be? She already lost all her children. There's really nothing else you could take from her except the throne. And it's kind of like, I don't know. I just don't know if she'll...
But then also, now that I'm thinking about it, on the flip side, it's like Sansa ending up on the throne is such a happy ending that it's like, I could see the show being like, fuck everyone, and Cersei ends up on the throne.
No, I don't think so. Because even Maisie and Sansa did a... Maisie and Sophie did an interview on Good Morning America, and... they said that some people will love who ends up on the Iron Throne and other people won't. And Maisie gives Sophie a look. And I think, I don't know, I just, to me, you know, I'm interpreting body language or whatever, but I think that it will be Sansa. But there's one more thing to add about Cersei, and that's the prophecy. There was a prophecy that will be fulfilled, that Sansa will be betrayed and eventually killed by one of her brothers, and her whole life thought it was going to be Tyrion. And that's kind of why she was always such a jerk to Tyrion, because this prophecy that she was told.
Oh yeah. So I can see, actually, you know what?
It's going
to
be
Jaime killing her. Yeah. It actually save and like something to do with Brienne.
Well, I think that it is going to be Jaime, but will it actually be Jaime, or will it be Arya wearing Jaime's face?
Ooh. Dude, Katie is like next level with this.
I know.
Shit,
and I think it's probably like unprepared for this conversation.
Yeah, but no, I love this because like I am not nearly a big enough Game of Thrones fan to. I don't even remember half their names. I feel like this. No, seriously. Like I feel like this show is like, it's weird because it's so popular, but yet it's also so unmemorable in some ways.
Yeah,
it's like I don't really remember a lot of going on. There's so many pieces, so many moving parts.
Yeah, but like, this I feel is like Star Wars. I could tell you, like
that's the thing.
You know, so I think I love this because she's that. Yeah, right, this is her thing, and I love it because it's not nearly as much our thing, but like we like it enough to want to talk about it.
But there's also some. I'm sorry. I know I keep talking.
No, don't. Oh my God, help. Katie, no, you're good. Stop it.
I'm cutting in with my bullshit about Ned's head. You know. Give us the real shit. Please.
And I gave you a valid reason as to how it could come.
You really
back
did.
To
I feel validated. I'm like, she, like, no, I'm really,
really
just,
considered
I'm
Ned's head, which is amazing.
I'm such a good fan that like I knew that, Katie. It's fine.
So, oh gosh, what was I going to say? Oh, there are some questions left. Super, super unanswered that I just don't see 6 episodes covering. 1, why is Melisandre some very, very, very old lady? Are we ever going to find out why this season? 2, who's the prince that is promised? Will that ever come to fruition in this season? Who knows? I know that they've told us that the Hound and the Mountain will face off against each other, which will be extremely fun to see, which means... I just don't know when this is all going to play out, because obviously everyone has to be at Winterfell to protect Winterfell from the Night King and his army. So when do they go to King's Landing? Because that only leaves 1 episode, because I believe Battle of Winterfell is 5. So do they go to King's Landing first and win the throne and then have to take, like, that just doesn't make sense. So
they're going to have to start killing people off very, very quickly to like just get some of like the dead weight out of there to get to like... the story.
Also, isn't every episode like an hour and a half?
A little bit. Yeah. Some are a little bit longer. But
all either like, they're like 90 to 100 minutes or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they've got a lot of storytelling time because it's only 6 episodes, but that's like 6 movies.
That's true.
Basically.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true. So there's definitely time to wrap things up. I just don't know if they're going to.
All right. So Cersei, like... you think she's going to end up dying. I think overall fate, she is going to end up living. Court, what do you think? Live or die by the end of the season?
I think she will die. I think it will be at the end. I know that it's the obvious answer, but I think that is a character we kind of like, she is a tethering force almost, and we kind of need her, or I need her at least. And I think that that will be how she sticks in the picture.
I love Cersei. I honestly, like, I think she might be my favorite character only because she's the most relatable to me. Like, I totally can see why she makes the choices she makes. They're bad choices, but, you know, she's one of those characters that I feel like once you understand her upbringing and all she's ever wanted is to be as equal as a man, it's so hard to be like, oh, you're such a villain. But she just makes poor choices. So
but here's the thing, though, like, and because I don't want to like get stuck on a Cersei, you know, breakdown for too long, but we can definitely do another episode on this. But like, I think that that just kind of when you can understand someone's upbringing and whatever, that just makes them that much better of a villain.
Absolutely.
You know, like no villain's completely bad. You know, you can always kind of understand how they became how they are. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's jump to Jaime. So real simple answer. I just want to know, do you think are they going to live or die by the end of the season?
Die.
Well, first, hold on. Wait, Preeti, is Cersei going to live or die?
Die.
Okay. Jaime.
Live.
Katie.
Sorry.
No, you're good. So you think he's going to live. Katie, do you think Jaime's going to live or die by the end of the season?
I think he's going to die.
Court?
Die.
Yeah, I think he's going to die.
I think he may even kill Daenerys.
Ooh.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. So Tyrion, live or die, Preeti?
Live.
Katie?
Live.
Court?
Live. If Tyrion dies, we riot.
Yeah. I co-sign. I mean, yeah. And I think I really strongly believe he's going to end up hand to the king or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Queen.
King's hand, whatever the fuck they call it. Someplace different. Something different everywhere. All right. Yara Greyjoy. Preeti, live or die?
Die.
Katie?
Die.
Court?
Dead as fuck.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I gotta agree. I think she's gonna bite the big one. And I yeah. Okay. Theon Greyjoy, fuck him. Live or die, Preeti?
Die. He has to.
Katie?
Definitely death.
Court?
Dead though.
Here's the thing. He should die, which is why I think he's gonna live.
It's true.
That's a fair
accurate
argument.
Yeah. Okay, Podrick Payne. Live or die, Preeti.
I don't know who this is. Live.
Makes the guess even better. Katie?
Yeah, I think he's going to die, and it's going to be one of those really sad deaths.
Yeah.
Because
I think we all... Pod. Okay. Brienne of Tarth.
Live.
I need this bitch
Katie?
To live.
Live.
Yeah, I think we all need Brienne to
She'll
live.
She'll probably die, though, because we want her to live
I know,
so
she's
much.
Probably going to die because we all want her to live. Yeah. But I'm going to go on record as saying that she's going to live because I'm going to really hope and try to stay positive that she's going to live. Mm-hmm. The Night King, who is he even alive? I don't even know. But let's say, like, whatever version of what he is now, will he continue to be that or will he just cease to exist completely? So, Preeti.
Cease to exist.
Katie.
That depends. I mean, I wrote down that he'll die. But I have all these theories about the Night King. I think he's a Stark. I think Bran could warg into him. There's like all these things. But
hold on, wait. Go on now. I need to hear this. Go. What's your theory?
Well, okay. So the Children of the Forest created the Night King basically to build a weapon, and it backfired on them. I do think that the Night King was originally a Stark, which I think could be really, really interesting. And I think Bran has always had a connection with the Night King, whether or not it's a Stark connection or just being able to warg into him. Ultimately, I think Bran could warg into the Ice Dragon to help save the day, possibly leading to the destruction of the Night King, which could be interesting. Is Bran the actual Night King? I don't know. There's lots of things. I do think, though, Bran was named for Brandon Stark, who was a family member. And it could be very possible that the Night King is Brandon Stark.
Oh, okay, okay. I don't think he's going to cease to exist.
Okay.
What about you, Court?
I think he's going to die, but after we find out all the cool shit.
I think he's going to have an Anakin Skywalker moment where, like, there's a little piece of good still in him, and all of a sudden he becomes that, like, whoever he was. And then, like... that's who he is, and then he comes back like a force ghost.
Yeah, I just don't know what he wants. I think that's the thing about that character is that you just don't know what they want.
Yeah.
just an army? Like,
true.
Okay, great. You have one. Like, what else do you want?
All right, Samwell Tarly. Preeti.
Liv.
Katie.
Liv.
Court.
I need my sweet baby boy to live. I love him.
God, I'm on the fence with this because I feel like he could also be a very emotional death because people do love him.
Nah, I think that's too expected.
All right, I'm going to give him a Liv. The MVP of the series, Ned's head.
Death. He's already dead. Not coming back.
He's decomposed.
Court.
Y'all are going to be surprised when he wins.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I kind of like this whole sprinkle that, you know, special magic powder on his head, a la Return to Oz. I am with you, Court. I think he's going to somehow live on in the halls of...
I'm picturing that scene in Young Frankenstein. It's just his sitting there like, I got no body.
I mean, another way that could happen is I know that they sent Ned's body back to Winterfell and it's in the crypt. So if they sent the head back, that first scene of Arya running from something and she's terrified in the crypt, if the Night King is able to raise the dead into White Walkers, that could be interesting. Yeah. And maybe she's running from her dead White Walker Ned family.
Imagine if he's now a White Walker. That would be the coolest shit ever. That I would be like, yo, this show, I'd finally give it some props.
It'd be everyone. Because
I'm like,
though.
I mean, all right,
it'd be
this
like
fine,
Ned
this fine.
And Catelyn and Rickon, and it'd be like the whole family. Lyanna's down there.
Okay, Gendry, live or die, Preeti.
He's
Katie,
live.
Court,
I guess live, and then no one will notice because he just doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think he's going to live. I think he's going to matter a little more this season. All right, so Bran Stark, live or die, Preeti?
Die.
Katie?
I mean, that depends. No, I'm just kidding.
You got to give us a short answer, girl, because it's turning into like a five-hour
okay, live.
Episode. I know you love Game of Thrones, but like, come on.
Live.
All right, Court?
Live.
Yeah, I think he's going to live. Arya?
Live.
Live or die.
Live.
Live.
Okay, we all agree on live. Sansa.
Live.
I think we all agree live. All right, ready? Jon Snow.
Die.
Live.
Live.
Yeah, you know what? I think he's going to live now. I think I agree that he's going to end up ruling the North.
The North.
Yeah, and there's all these rumors that like Dany can be pregnant and maybe he'll take... you know, I made a quick little prediction on Jamie's Game of Thrones... or Jackie's Game of Thrones podcast, but... you know, it would be kind of fitting if Daenerys died during childbirth, just like his own father or mother did. And then he raises the baby in the North and gives Sansa the throne. But I don't think that'll happen.
I don't want anyone to die in childbirth.
All right. And Dany, what do we think is going to happen to Dany?
Live.
Katie?
She going to die.
Court?
She going to die.
Yeah, I think she's going to die also. All right. Well, those are our predictions for our Stark Madness. But we're going to fill out every week what we think is going to happen the following week as far as when people are going to live or die, because we don't get points just by guessing overall if they live or die. And hopefully you guys will do it, too. And we'll like use the hashtag fangirls GOT for Game of Thrones so that you can play along with us. And yeah, so with that, we're going to take a break and then we'll come back for our Shiro of the Week.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and every week we take a moment to dishonor the men doing the most to be the absolute least in a little segment we like to call the Useless Male of the Week. Kelly Marie Tran, of course, played Rose Tico in The Last Jedi. In doing so, she was the first woman of color to play a lead role in a Star Wars film, and not only the first Asian American to have a lead role in the franchise, but one of the very, very few Asian Americans to appear in the films at all. And how did fandom react to her? Exactly the way you'd expect. She was bullied and harassed so much, she deleted her social media presence. She wrote a piece for the New York Times describing the abuse she suffered, saying, "Their words reinforced a narrative I had heard my whole life, that I was other, that I didn't belong, that I wasn't good enough, simply because I wasn't like them." But at the Star Wars celebration on Friday, Tran was met with an ovation unlike any other person who walked on that stage. Her name was chanted. Her fellow co-stars screamed her name. She cried. I cried. So who is the useless male of the week? Every single man who made Kelly feel othered, who drove her off social media. Because guess what? You don't matter. You're useless. You're nothing. Kelly, we stan.
I love
my
it.
My heart. My heart for Kelly Marie Tran.
Oh, that made me so happy.
As with every episode, we want to celebrate the good, the great, the best. It's time for our Shiro of the Week. Today, let's all raise a glass to Katie Bowman. Last week, we got our very first image of a scientific phenomena that has haunted our nightmares for ages. The event horizon of a black hole. It sounds so dark and deep. I love it. Mm-hmm. This has been years in the making, but things kicked into high gear about 3 years ago when Katie, an MIT grad, led the team developing an algorithm that was a key component in allowing us to stare right into the eye of Sauron himself. Katie will forever be a part of something incredible, and we love hearing stories about women in science, so here's to many more discoveries. Cannot wait to see what she does next.
And, of course, we have our Reviewer of the Week, which is our favorite segment because we get to shout out one listener slash reviewer for their awesome feedback about our podcast, which we get to only see if it's on iTunes. So leave some love there because then we'll know that you did it. Because without you guys, we would just be talking to ourselves, which is fine because we do it anyway. But it's more fun when you guys are listening. So this week, we are going to shout out Rochelle Spike, who had this to say. "I've listened to strong female characters off and on as I do, but the forgotten women of genre has become a daily necessity. I've always enjoyed the podcast, and this miniseries has been everything I like about it times 10. Thank you, Rochelle, because we love it too, and we love you too. So, you know, let us know when you hear your name. Reach out to us on social media, because we got a little thank you that we want to send you. And same with our previous, you know, reviewers of the week. Let us know so we can get in touch and send you a token of our appreciation that goes beyond just us continuing to say things into your ear holes every week. And with that, you know, thanks everyone for listening. And as always, leave us some love on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, especially on iTunes, because not only does it let us know that you're listening, but it helps other people find the show and it helps promote the show and it helps support the show. You can always find us on Twitter and Instagram at Sci-Fi Fangirls Pod. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Sharness.
And I am at Run With Skizzers.
I am on Twitter at Court Enlow and on Instagram at Courtney Enlow.
And Katie, where can people find you?
I do lots of Game of Thrones videos, including recaps and reviews on my YouTube channel, Legend of Katie. And Twitter, I'm the Katie Wilson.
And thanks for hanging out with us and geeking out with us over Game of Thrones.
Thanks for being able to handle my craziness.
Oh, we love it. And until next time,
speak geek like a girl.